Welcome to the podcast. I'm Dr. Val Jones, founder of GetBetterHealth.com. Today I'll be speaking with Dr. Richard Carmona, the 17th Surgeon General of the United States, about the Office of Surgeon General and what it takes to be a good one. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Carmona.
Thanks, Val. Nice to speak to you again.
Great to have you here with me today. There's been a lot of buzz recently about the new administration's potential choice for Surgeon General, and I think there's a lot of confusion amongst the general public about what the Surgeon General actually does and what the roles and responsibilities of the Surgeon General are. Being that you've been the Surgeon General, I thought you'd be the perfect person to explain to us a little bit more about the Office of the Surgeon General.
Well, Val, thanks for the opportunity. I think it's a wonderful opportunity to educate the American public as to the importance of this position and how it is really the iconic position of Doctor of the Nation. And because of that, there are some core competencies that most of my colleagues, including the other Surgeon Generals, feel are essential for this position.
And what are those qualities?
Well, first of all, the job of the Surgeon General can be simply described. It is to protect, promote, and advance the health, safety, and security of the United States. Now, that's a rather broad definition. It's evolved over the years. This position really emanates from the original U.S. Public Health Service, which in 1798, a law was signed by President Adams creating the Marine Hospital Service. And for over 200 years now, this organization has flourished and taken care of the federal health needs of this nation. In the 1880s, the name was changed again, and the Surgeon General title was given to the head physician. And in 1912 or so, the name was changed from a Marine Hospital Service to the U.S. Public Health Service, and the scope of the authority of this position in the Public Health Service broadened to include immigration and so many things that the Public Health Service does today. But the Surgeon General is a physician, and the Surgeon General basically should come from an area where he has or she has been experienced in public health. It's extraordinarily important to have credibility among your peers in the United States and globally, to have worked in the trenches, so to speak, in public health, have a unique and deep understanding of the complex public health issues that face our nation, as well as the world. And those are things like prevention and understanding the complex issues around prevention, because the disease and economic burden of our nation is significant, as is the world. Preparedness, issues like weapons of mass destruction, nuclear, biological, and chemical warfare. How does that integrate into our public health systems? How do we train our citizens as well as our armed forces and our first responders for these challenges? Dealing with health disparities, health literacy. So you have to have a very broad and in-depth understanding of the complex field of public health. And also it helps to have been a public health officer or in the military before as a uniformed officer, because you will become an admiral and you will interface with admirals and generals in the other services. You will interface with the Army and Navy Surgeon Generals, all of whom are career officers, often with over 30 years of service and have moved up the ranks to become admirals or generals themselves, working with secretaries of the various cabinets. So you really, I think, have to have the wisdom, the seasoning, the presence to take on the position of an admiral, as well as to carry out the duties of this position as the Doctor of the Nation and really represent our nation with the presence of somebody who has that depth and breadth of experience and always has the country's needs first.
And what sort of things does the Surgeon General do on a daily basis?
On a daily basis, the Surgeon General is interfacing with the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps, because the Surgeon General, as a Vice Admiral in the United States Public Health Service, is the commander of the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps. And our officers, thousands of them, are over 800 locations in the world, doing things anonymously that keep our nation and our world safe in so many different ways, dealing with everything from emerging infections to the problems of traditional prevention in public health, obesity, cigarette smoking, and the like. And so the Surgeon General, as this iconic leader, interfaces externally with the world, and I mean the world, world leaders, other Surgeon Generals from around the world, health ministers, but also administers the Commission Corps of the U.S. Public Health Service and interfaces on a daily basis with the National Institutes of Health, with the CDC, with HRSA, with SAMHSA, all of the federal-related health agencies, works with various advocacy groups and professional public health organizations around the country and the world, World Health Organization, Pan American Health Organization, American Public Health Association, works with every cabinet member and their subordinates within the cabinet on health issues that affect all of those areas. And every cabinet secretary has health issues. Interior, commerce, homeland security, all have a need for in-depth analysis of policy, working, staffing up their offices with public health professionals to make sure the needs of the United States are met on a global level as it relates to moving our policy forward as proscribed by the Congress and the President of the United States. So it really is a very visible, credible, iconic position that needs to be looked at very carefully as to the core competencies, because once we put that person out there, they really are the face of health for the United States of America.
And typically, how is the Surgeon General chosen? What is the process that is used to find and commission the Surgeon General?
The Surgeon General of the United States is solely appointed by the President of the United States. And basically, that's a nomination. It's not a straight appointment. What happens is the president, after a great deal of deliberation and due diligence with staff, says, this is the person I would like, and then introduces that person to the United States Senate. And the Senate interviews them, and then the Senate, if they so choose, extends them the privilege of coming before the United States Senate for a Senate confirmation hearing, at which time the Senate will look at your background, ask you questions about anything and everything related to the public health of this nation and the world, complex issues, very granular issues, up to very big policy issues. And pretty much they put you on a hot seat, and rightfully so, because they're doing their due diligence to make sure that this man or woman is the right person for the job, has the credentials, has the gravitas, has the presence to be an admiral in one of the seven uniformed services of the United States and represent our nation as the doctor of the nation.
And historically, what sort of qualifications do they look for the Surgeon General?
The statutory requirement is simply that it has to be a physician. But that goes back many, many decades into the previous centuries. And what has evolved over time is that more and more, as public health has been better defined and the complex problems before us have actually generated a specialty of public health, where people receive master's degrees and PhDs, and there's residencies in public health and extra training in public health, that there's a proscribed body of knowledge that can be acquired in many ways that people bring to that job. And so you see, as you look back to, like, my predecessor, Surgeon General David Satcher, who is deeply steeped in public health, both as a primary care physician, but also having a doctorate, an MD and a PhD, having run the Centers for Disease Control and for many years practiced in public health. So when he took office, he was very, very well known to the nation at large and the world at large of public health, and was received very graciously as a preeminent public health practitioner. So as we look through the times, as the times have changed and the requirements, if you will, the knowledge base, if you will, has been better defined, you follow that trail of Surgeon Generals and you see more and more the depth and breadth of knowledge that they represent, the preeminent positions that they hold within the field, the colleagues that they have embraced, if you will, in our country and the world, who see them as a peer, who see them as a leader, who will look to them as an intellectual property owner and someone who they will seek out to deal with complex public health issues. That's where the evolution has taken us now.
And my final question to you today is, What do you think the American people should expect from their Surgeon General?
That's an interesting question, and I think a very important one. I think that, first and foremost, that the Surgeon General of the United States needs to remain a nonpartisan physician of the nation. The Surgeon General of the United States should always communicate the honest scientific truth to the American public in order for the public to be educated, to improve health literacy, to make informed decisions about improving their health in order to achieve optimal health and wellness through appropriate prevention strategies. And often, that scientific information is not the policy that the president or Congress may come out with, because policy is a very complex issue. But the doctor of the nation has the biggest practice in the world. He is the doctor for 300 million people. The doctor of the nation is that icon that everybody looks to, that when the Surgeon General speaks, the Surgeon General has such authenticity, such credibility, that their words, his or her words as Surgeon General, emanate not only nationally but globally. When Surgeon General reports are released, it actually changes behavior in our country and the world. If you look at the secondhand smoke report that my team released in 06, look at how in such a short time, in less than 2 years, we have smoke-free areas. We have the EU, Asia, Africa, the Americas with smoke-free areas. We have really incited a whole cultural change as to how we approach secondhand smoke. That was one report released by a United States Surgeon General that went viral and global, and in fact has impacted global health immensely in just 2 short years. But that's the kind of presence, and that's the kind of authority and authenticity that the Surgeon General has, because they are the doctor of the greatest nation in the world, and the people of our nation and the people of the world see them as a true, honest broker of the best science for the people in an apolitical fashion. And so we stay focused on the needs of our nation. We give the best advice to our president and our Congress and our secretaries as to what may constitute the scientific portions of any policy. And then we assist our leaders in moving those policies forward to benefit the American public, but always keeping our citizens, the patient, in the forefront of everything that we do, because you're forming a patient-doctor bond with those 300 million people that are our citizens, but those fellow citizens who really rely on us for that honest information to make those good decisions. So that's what makes this position so unique, and historically why it's so valued by the American public and our global partners, who look to us as a beacon of hope, as a beacon of solving complex problems traditionally for centuries. That's why that position is so important.
Well, it's an incredibly important position, no doubt about it. Thank you so much for taking the time to explain to us exactly what the Surgeon General does and why it's such an important position for our country. I'm Dr. Val Jones, founder of GetBetterHealth.com. We've been speaking with Dr. Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States.